It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. At 2:30, why does June 2nd matter? A couple of interesting birthdays to tell you about, including a former hottie who has jumped the plastic surgery shark. And in mere minutes, some college coaches have some interesting things to say about how the transfer portal is reshaping recruiting high school kids. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Hope you're having a good Wednesday. Some breaking news in the basketball realm today. Earlier in the day, it was about Danny Ainge stepping down in Boston. Brad Stevens apparently is taking that role as team president. So if you're thinking, oh, that means they're going to bring somebody new in and he deals with Brad Stevens, or do you fire Brad Stevens? Nope. Brad Stevens, who was hired in 2013, is now going to take over that position. The owner said today that he and Brad Stevens agreed, quote, to win Banner 18 or die trying. That happened in the NBA.
All right.
A little later on in the afternoon, it was bad news for Philly, where Joel Embiid, we find out, tore his lateral meniscus. Now, meniscus is a relatively good word in that discussion. It's not ACL. It's not MCL. He is out for game 5 tonight. You would think it's longer than that. No surgery. They'll go with the rehab, and they're just going to have to see how it swells or doesn't swell and what they can do with it. But that's a huge blow to the number one team in the East. And then on the college side, Coach K says it's time to go. He'll go one more season, one more round. Oh, if you don't like Coach K, you're going to need to not tune in to next year's basketball season when it comes to the ACC. Because Trey, he's now agreed to the tour.
Oh, it's going to be so awful.
God, there's going to be bottles of wine. There's going to be motorcycles. We could have rocking chairs. There's going to be a parade of things. Bob Knight will probably show up a couple times.
We should run down the list of the different locale-specific gifts that he's going to be receiving from all the different schools in the ACC.
Oh, man, that's going to be – and the last trip to North Carolina – what are they going to do?
Now, that's going to be interesting. I would assume that they are going to give him a standing O just for what he has meant to that rivalry. Because without Coach K, I mean, Duke is nothing.
But what's the gift? Bag of poo? I mean, like, what do you give him?
The gift is probably, well, that's probably not an okay thing to say in 2021 or ever really, but especially not now. But a couple of attractive co-eds, Chad, since Duke doesn't have a whole lot of girls on their campus.
There it is. There you go. Something that's Carolina blue. That's what they should give him. Something he might want, but something that is Carolina blue, not Duke blue. And see if he'll actually take it from you.
Well, Coach K is a giant jerk, so he may very well just like throw it down on the court and stomp on it if you do Carolina blue.
Yeah, he probably will. Probably will. All that going on in basketball. Mavs trying to go up 3-2 tonight. Can they stop this momentum that the Clippers have started? That is late on TNT. There's four games on tonight. Also, we'll get back to basketball here in a second. A couple of football notes. Trey let me know this earlier. I've not looked it up, but I knew it was coming. And I don't know when enough is enough, Trey, but apparently the NFL owners are now thinking about 18 games in a season.
Yeah, Peter King reported this yesterday, and they're thinking that this might be doable by 2025.
My God.
You know, you give an inch, and who tries to take a mile, Chad? The greediest amongst us.
Yep.
And that seems to be what the NFL is trying to do right now, and the players have nobody to blame but themselves for this. Because they essentially agreed to that 17th game with the most recent CBA that they signed.
Man, not making enough money? Is that what it is? All these owners are just so poor?
A lot of people are going to be happy about this prospect because it means more football. But, you know, I think at some point you reach a spot where more regular season doesn't necessarily mean more entertaining football.
Well, it's more football, but it's also them continuing not to... I mean, they care a little more than they used to, but they still haven't set up a proper system to help these guys out. I'll tell you what, when they announce this 18th game in 2025, Trey, as long as right after that they bring up one of the leading minds in cannabis research to tell me how they're going to fully embrace the cannabis discussion and its medicinal help that it can give football, then I'm on board. As soon as you do that, At least you're pretending at that. At least at that point, you're getting into a real discussion. But until they do that, I'm not buying that they care about these guys at all.
So if you had an 18th game, assuming that you keep the playoffs like it is, the expanded playoffs, because that is staying, correct?
I would think so.
They got rid of it in baseball, but it's staying in football.
I think they're staying with the 7-7.
I mean, at this point, you're looking at the season ending in mid-February.
Mm-hmm.
Which, wait a second, it's going to be ending in mid-February now that you're adding that 17th game, because there are 18 total weeks. So if you had an 18th game, there would be 19 total weeks.
Yeah, you're pushing towards like Feb 21 right now.
End of February is what you're talking about here. Yeah. What's one of the big gripes with every other sport except for the NFL? How the season goes for half of a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely too long. It's hard to maintain that interest for that entire time. And yes, football is a different beast because it's played. Each team plays once a week. I know that there are games on pretty much every night of the week now, except for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Saturday, of course, but that's for college football.
Oh, they get to Saturday as soon as college goes away.
That's fair, too.
They move them around.
I mean, you are really testing the limits of how much people are going to care about random football.
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL. We're going to watch. I get that part, and I just...
Man. We are going to watch, but what have you been hearing these last few years? Complaints from the league and their TV partners about how bad ratings have been on some of the off days.
That's true.
Like the Thursdays and the Mondays, and not Sunday night as much, because they tend to get one of the best matchups of the week. But some of these other nights have had their issues, because at some point you're just forced to match two teams up that isn't all that compelling for somebody who may like football a lot, but they've got plenty of other options to go with, too.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing they could do with the 18th game, if you don't want to announce cannabis research, why don't you announce guaranteed contracts at that meeting? Then I'm interested.
Yeah, and that's...
Guarantee your money.
And that's where I try to take myself, my selfish football-loving self, out of this and think more about the players, most of whom were upset about a 17th game, saying we're already putting our bodies through hell through 16 games. And now you're adding a 17th game. You're potentially going to add an 18th game too. Like, I think at that point, you do have to consider a second bye during the season, which may help out just a little bit. But at that point, you are truly going to the end of February.
Yeah. At that point, you'd have to back the beginning of it up. You're going to have to change the beginning of a season. You're going to have to think about, do you really want to go 3 weeks of preseason? Do you want to get rid of another preseason game? And do you want to think about starting, instead of starting September, you know, 10 or so, do you start when college starts? Do you back up to that week zero college week and start like August 25th with week one? That's another way you could deal with it.
Yeah, boy, what a fascinating decision that they would have there, including pissing off the college side of things if you decide to go Labor Day weekend.
Right, because college loves to fill that full weekend all the way through Monday.
As they should. It's a great time for them.
Yeah.
If I'm college, I'm encouraging the NFL to just add on to the end of the season.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, just push into the spring, because everybody does care about those fall weekends there in September. So 18 games, it could be possible in the NFL. Keep your eyes peeled for that. We also talked about the Quinn Ewers comments earlier in the show, the Ohio State commit, but of course, South Lake Carroll quarterback. The big comment everybody's reacting to is him saying probably he was asked why did he switch from Texas to Ohio State. Probably because the Texas team hasn't been in the running for a national championship in a little while. And Longhorn fans, and really fans all over the state, have been reacting to that one over the last day. No team in the state of Texas has been part of the college football playoff. And what has Quinn Ewers seen? He's seen six championships split between Bama, Clemson, and Ohio State, the team he chose. And as our guest today, Justin Wells of Inside Texas, pointed out, Trey, because he was raised so much as a Longhorn, that kept him probably from considering Oklahoma. He dug Lincoln Riley, but ultimately that kid, it's one of those, look, I may not end up as a Longhorn, but I am damn well not going to be a Sooner. So he ends up in Columbus instead.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. I mean, if there's a silver lining to that bitter-tasting decommit, it's that he's not a Sooner right now. Hopefully, when it's all said and done, Texas plays well enough this next season to give him a more difficult decision that he's going to have to make between the Buckeyes and Longhorns. Because I know that deep down, he wants to come to Texas, and there are a lot of people on his side they kind of wish he would flip back to Texas. But as things stand right now, he's an Ohio State guy. And Texas fans need to be okay with that. And hopefully folks aren't too upset with what he said. It's not like he was trying to take a shot at Texas. He was answering a question that was asked of him. Why did you flip from Texas to Ohio State? He gave, I would say, a pretty honest answer. I think there's another element to that that he didn't get into, and that's probably him taking the higher road, and that is that he and his family didn't care much for Tom Herman once they really got to know the guy. And so, again, hopefully Texas plays well enough to make Quinn rethink just where they are right now in the national landscape and how much quicker he can help them get there.
Yeah, what you need to hope for next season is that Ohio State slips and looks sluggish without Justin Fields just a little bit. Maybe they don't make the playoff, but we'll see. And then you need to probably beat Iowa State, put up a good fight against Oklahoma
at the least.
But you got to be at Jerry World fighting for that Big 12 title.
I'm beating Oklahoma and losing to Ohio State, given that option.
That might be a way to go too, because you might get more out of that.
Because Quinn may be at that game.
That's
true. He's a Dallas kid.
That's a good point.
And he has rooted for Texas for a long time. Now he's going to have to wear like a beanie cap or something, because a lot of Texas fans are going to be taking his picture at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
And there's no way that news would knock it out. But, I want to beat Oklahoma, regardless of Quinn Ewers.
That's perfectly fair. We'll see how the season plays out and see what Quinn Ewers decides to do. Obviously, he does not sign. He does technically sign after the season in December if he wants to. Of course, that first signing day now.
And I think he is an early enrollee. And by the way, speaking of Texas OU, we dropped this on the people at the start of today's show. It's worth mentioning once again. The State Fair of Texas did announce they would be 100% capacity.
Ah, you go.
Starting in September when the State Fair opens up.
By the way, great idea just hit me. This year, deep fried masks. Come up with some material you could make a mask out of, and you sell someone the mask, and they put the mask on, and then there's something on the inside of it that they can start eating, and they can just eat it throughout the game.
I got it. All of those edible panties that have been on the shelves of sex shops for years.
Now that's just gross.
Unpurchased and definitely not eaten, that you can then turn into a faux mask and deep fry. What are you shaking your head for?
I don't think you can clean those enough to where
nobody's ever worn those things.
I don't know. That's a good idea, though. The deep fried mask.
I bought a pair for a girlfriend at one point. We took them out of the packaging. We're like, are these serious?
Deep fried Purell. I've never done the edible panty thing.
Have you ever had a fruit roll-up?
Yeah.
Then you've done the edible
panty thing.
Then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a separate worlds thing for me. Never been. Now, if I'd ever been asked to be a part of it, I might have. But I like food, and I like that stuff. It's just that food and that stuff, I've never gone to that route. I've never done the George Costanza, where he's eating the sandwich and doing the whole thing. I've never needed that thing. If I'd ever met that girl, and she said, hey, there's no way I'm doing this without, you know, chocolate syrup and all this other stuff. Oh, all right, sure.
The edible underwear was an utter fail for us. The only other thing that the only other road I've gone down there was the chocolate syrup. And I learned my lesson that day and haven't done it since, that a little bit goes a long way.
Oh, my God.
A lot of it means that you're basically having to call the whole thing off. It was way too much.
You're like one of the kids in Willy Wonka drowning in chocolate.
Just about.
Yeah. All right. So the other story we wanted to hit here in this segment is a college basketball story. Trey Franfraschilla's got a little info that might let us know where college basketball is headed.
Yeah, how about this tweet from Fran? And this would have been back on May 24th.
All right.
So a little bit more than a week ago. One top 40 program coach told me last week that they will no longer recruit high school players, but will live in the transfer portal. Quote, we're like the NBA. We can build through free agency or through the draft. We'll take the surer thing.
Wow. So does your gut tell you that would actually improve the quality of college basketball? Because I feel like my gut says it would. You've already played a little bit. You've been able to prove yourself a little bit versus the raw high school talent.
So no.
Or does it swing the other way?
So no, not necessarily. It can help depending on the coach. And look, I am taking a total guess here, but it would not surprise me at all if the top 40 coach that he was referencing was Chris Beard.
He does do a few Texas games.
Well, yeah. He's also shown, and he's done a few Texas Tech games as well.
I mean, yeah, he's a Big 12 guy, right? And he covers the conference.
And Chris Beard has also shown a knack for bringing transfers in and incorporating them into his system lightning fast.
True.
And he's doing that right now here in Austin as he tries to turn this roster from what looked like it was going to be a dumpster fire this next season into one that could actually contend for a conference championship. And I think he's almost there right now. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was Beard that was saying this. And Beard is the guy that can get away with this. But for other programs, you want guys that you can develop into your system. And while there are plenty of great transfers out there, here's where it gets tricky versus college football. The college basketball level has these different tiers, even though everybody is in the same group. It can actually get to that field of 68 when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. There are those second and third tier schools where the likelihood that you're going to be seen by scouts, by other players, by whoever it is that you want to see you play your game is so much less at some of these smaller schools than it is any of these Power 5 schools or Power 6 schools, if you want to call it that, in college basketball. A lot of those guys who actually do bring a ton of talent to the table, they will help a program out. And you have seen it like with some of the guys that Texas has gotten, let's say, like the kid from Creighton that they got, who's really athletic, mm-hmm. he's got good length, and he's going to be seen more at Texas than he was at Creighton. And Creighton's not a bad basketball school necessarily, so I think it makes more sense in college basketball than it does college football. But college basketball shouldn't neglect high school recruits altogether. I hope this doesn't turn into something where most big-time programs are only going after transfers versus actually taking some high school guys into high school guys that they can actually bring in and help to develop. And maybe they give you a little bit that freshman year, and that improves throughout sophomore and junior season and a senior season if you do get one of those too.
It's a wild development question because you can argue you don't get as much time to develop in college hoops because it's one season, one season, one season, especially if you have one and dones. But then we were talking about this during a break. Chris Beard, to me, feels like a guy, and he's done this a little bit at Texas Tech, that he'll build that experience a little bit where you'll look up. And remember that team a couple years ago that almost won it all? They had experience all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have a certain level of that where you've got seniors and juniors kind of stacked up. But then you're going to need to be able to grab guys quickly to fill in those roles. So it's going to be this discussion among coaches of, do we trust that we can, because we can develop that kid. Because that kid's not going to be a one and done. Let's develop him, but then let's look in the portal for, ooh, that guy. I know him from Creighton. I know him from whatever. The other thing I like about it, Trey, from the fan perspective, is at least it gives you some familiarity maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the problem with college basketball to me nowadays. It's that by the time you get to know them, they're gone. And so maybe now you get to recycle them a little bit here in figuring out your teams.
See, that's where I don't think it necessarily helps from a fan perspective, because you're still going to be pretty in the dark from year to year with a lot of guys.
But like with a guy like McClung, at least mm-hmm. you know him and you've seen him. So when he plays again on another team in college, that should help college basketball, right? In theory?
Maybe, but I still think college basketball is suffering from the issue that you just don't have enough guys in one place for long enough.
Right.
And for all the McClungs out there, there are plenty of other dudes. And look, there's going to be a lot of guys on this Texas roster next year who did decent things for their previous schools that Longhorn fans are going to have no idea about until they wear that jersey and they start doing anything for Chris Beard and staff.
It's interesting. We heard those numbers go up to 1,000, up over 1,000, 1,200 guys in the transfer portal. It is going to become a place where college basketball coaches go to do some business. And I agree with you. I think they're going to, because of just the numbers of the sport and the way it's set up with one and dones, you're going to get more impact in that transfer portal than you are going to try to find a linebacker.
Right.
It's just going to be much more impactful. So we'll continue to watch that. And if you're a Longhorn fan, I'd say you feel pretty good about Chris Beard's ability to deal with the portal, at least so far.
We may get back into this tomorrow because there were some football coaches who weighed in on this as well.
Oh, cool.
Who actually said some similar things, too. And it's not going to be as extreme at the college football level, obviously, because there, even though the transfer portal has grown as much as it has on that side of things, there's still only so many guys, and there are a lot of gems to be had at the high school level, and guys that you know you will have at your disposal for at least 3, if not 4 or 5 years.
Up next, we'll tell you why today matters. It is June the 2nd. Couple of birthdays, including, oh, one of those ladies that went a little too far on Trey's scale. Don't move. It's the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Take your time. No rush. What do you got, Trey?
This is Lord Huron. Where did the time go?
More new music for you on this Wednesday. The stuff hit on Friday, and we're bringing it to you here midweek. We hope you had a good long weekend and hope things are drying out for you. Before we get into why today matters, we'll tell you why the evening matters. After Triple Option this evening, you get the fight show. 7 o'clock is fight night. 8 o'clock is Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. And our man Suplex Stu sent me a message earlier. He got to interview Mark Henry this week, which is always cool. Mark Henry is making the move to AEW, which I did not realize. Apparently, he was a part of their last pay-per-view, as was Urban Meyer and Charlie Strong, who made appearances on the AEW pay-per-view. For those that don't know, there's a wrestling organization owned by the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that would explain why Urban Meyer and Charlie Strong ended up on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was a weird look.
I still haven't seen it.
Guys.
Was it any good?
The clip.
Apparently they threw stuff to Chris Jericho to hit a guy with.
Yeah, Charlie Strong threw him a couple footballs, and then Urban Meyer handed over an old laptop.
God, that had to be terrible.
Jericho beat somebody with. Oh, it was not good.
I'm sure that was
It was not good. And if and when this Urban Meyer in Jacksonville thing doesn't work out, this will be another one of those red flags that I'm pointing back to.
There you go.
So he's having to participate in this version of the clown show.
So if you want to hear Mark Henry tell how he's ending up in AEW, you can check that out tonight, 8 o'clock on Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. All right, let's jump on in and tell you why June the 2nd matters. Here we go.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
I was about to say June the 6th. We haven't quite gotten there yet. It's June the 2nd today, and the reason it might matter to you, well, let's just start with some food because we normally end up there. Rocky Road ice cream, do you care?
Rocky Road is chocolate ice cream, macadamia nuts, and marshmallows.
I believe that's true, and it's the marshmallows that makes me lean the other way.
Well, you're okay with marshmallows and macadamia nuts. I just don't like chocolate ice cream as the base.
Yeah, that too. I'm not a chocolate ice cream guy either, so it's those two things. The marshmallow chocolate ice cream combo, that didn't do anything.
Like,
for
if
me.
You were to go vanilla ice cream with chocolate chunks.
Yep.
Macadamia nuts and marshmallows, I'd give it a try.
Yeah, I'd try to make that work. By the way, I had a s'more last weekend, too. You want to know how much dark liquor I was drinking? I actually had a s'more and enjoyed it. I don't know what the hell was going on.
The heck does that mean? Like, you can't enjoy s'mores when you're not blind drunk?
I'm normally not a s'more guy.
What is wrong with you?
I don't like that much cooked marshmallow at a time. But no, I'm telling you what, Sacramento's wife made up a good s'more, and I had, I think I may have had two, actually.
The key with a good s'more is a marshmallow that has the nice char to it that allows everything to stick together, but it doesn't get too messy before you bite into it.
Yeah, it's a good call. Good call.
But you like the s'more, though.
It was good. Yeah, it was very good. And my secret s'more ingredient was unavailable, but if you ever get the chance, add peanut butter to the s'more. That is tasty.
I've heard you mention that. The last time we made s'mores, I was like, darn it. I wish we had peanut butter so we could try what Chad has been talking about for so long.
Good idea. National Rocky Road Day today. Have yourself a little bit of that. All right, Trey, let's get to it. When I say someone is too far down Trey's scale, I don't mean weight. I don't mean even pretty or ugly. It's the scale of plastic surgery. And when it comes to famous people, sometimes we discuss this with men, but most of the time it's women. It's a woman that Trey used to find attractive, but she's gone too far, and he no longer finds her attractive. Today's contestant is Nikki Cox,
who has
a birthday. Remember she Nikki Cox back in the day?
Dude, she is an all-timer for me, too.
Woo!
She was on, I'm forgetting what that sitcom was called on the CW way back in the day when the CW was just starting out. And then she was on, I think the show was actually called Vegas with Jay Moore. And
oh, I think you're right. I remember that one.
She dated Bobcat Goldthwait and Jay Moore separately, and she was co-stars with them on their respective shows.
Unhappily Ever After?
Unhappily Ever After, that's it.
Okay.
And Nikki Cox, she was a redhead.
Woo.
She had a little bit of the horse face thing going on for you. I know you're a big fan of the horse face.
Oh, yeah.
And she was just a bombshell. Head to toe.
Oh, Kentucky Derby.
And I showed you a picture prior to today's show, Chad.
Terrifying.
And by the way, she had beautiful full lips, too.
Oh, she had a beautiful face.
Beautiful face. She decided to go with the lip injections and just, at that point, looks like a cartoon character.
See, I'm not saying it's, and look, this is a full-grown woman. She made her own choices. But on some level, I want to punch Bobcat and Jay Moore in the face.
It wasn't Bobcat. It would have been Jay Moore that did this
to her. That did this to her? I want to punch them in the face. I've said this for years, that when you're with a woman that's on this level of good looking, it's partially your responsibility. Like, I kind of hold David Arquette responsible for what happened to Courtney Cox.
Mm.
Like, dude, you couldn't make her feel beautiful enough looking like that, that you let her run off to that plastic surgeon over and over and over and over again. What is wrong with you? How do you let Nikki Cox do this to herself?
I'm going to have to give a little bit of blame to the person getting that sort of plastic surgery, though, unfortunately.
I know. It's like their fault.
Something is going on with you that you feel the need to go there, even though they're is no rational reason to do so.
And here's the other thing. We would need to sit down and talk to those who have done a little bit of it and not gone too far, whoever you want to talk about. Maybe you think Nicole Kidman didn't go too far, or whoever it is. Maybe Jennifer Aniston hadn't gone too far yet. But how do they know when to stop?
You don't. It's like getting tattoos.
Exactly.
Everybody says this, that once you start down that road, it's like getting that first tattoo. And I just had Josh Rogan on the podcast, and we were talking before the show. It's funny that we've been promoting Knotfest because his brother-in-law is the drummer for Slipknot.
Oh, is that right?
And so he got his first tattoo when he was here in Austin a few weeks back prior to appearing on the Joe Rogan podcast. And I was talking with him about that before the show, and he was like, yeah, it's my first tattoo. I'm like, oh, that's great. So have you already decided on your second one now, since apparently that's what happens to everybody who gets that first one? And he's like, yeah, my brother-in-law, who's the drummer in Slipknot, he had the best quote about it. He's like, it takes 5 years to decide that first tattoo and 5 minutes to decide the second one.
There you go. Yeah.
And so that's the case with plastic surgery now as well. And it's funny because I'll look in the mirror sometimes and I'll see the lines on my forehead or the crow's feet. And I'm like, it sucks. I'm looking so much older than I was.
Don't do it,
but Trey. I just can't even start to go down that road.
No,
it's just not going to work for me.
No, no, no. I looked in the mirror the other day and I saw that I was looking older, but I thought, we'll see what this looks like in a couple of years.
No. Yeah, you let it be.
Now, this is 46. We'll see what 48 looks like. I'll deal with it.
Here's the thing about you and I talking about this. We can talk about it a little bit easier as guys.
That's true. Plus, A, we're starting from a very different point than Nikki Cox was.
True.
And B, our face doesn't determine our worth the way hers did. And maybe she just felt like she had to keep up with things. That's what Courtney Cox probably felt like. I got to keep up with certain things, and I can't let myself turn into some ugly old lady, because it's not fair, the standard we put on women. It's not ultimately fair, but all I would say to Nikki Cox is I would have loved to have seen what you look like aged normally.
Yeah.
You were beautiful. There's no way that was going bad.
Nothing wrong with going the Diane Lane route. And by the way, somebody
there
that I thought was going that route for the longest time, I'm now realizing that she is reaching that point of no return. It's funny you mentioned Courtney Cox, because the last couple of times I've seen Jennifer Aniston, including, and I haven't watched the entire thing yet, but the promo videos of Jennifer Aniston on the Friends
reunion. Oh, you think she went too far?
She's starting to get there, yes. Like, her surgeon for the longest time was doing a good job of keeping it subtle, but she's crossed that point to where it no longer looks natural, and I have to mourn.
I feel like Lisa Kudrow might have visited some kind of medical facility a time or two, but she's still looking pretty damn good.
Okay, see, I haven't seen Lisa Kudrow in a while. Actually, the last time I saw Kudrow would have been in that Steve Carell Space Force show, and it looked like she was letting herself age. Is that not the case now?
Overall, I think she is. That's okay. What I like about Kudrow. Okay. Yeah, she's aged really well.
How's Matt Perry looking?
He looks like the most like an old man of all of them. The most like an old person.
Older than Joey.
Something's kind of gone. Something's up with the teeth. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Like, some people think he might have had a stroke. Some people, we're trying to figure out. I don't know exactly what it was. But he comes off as kind of old man-ish. What's his name? Matt LeBlanc has put on the most weight.
Mm.
So that might make him kind of, he looks sort of like the oldest person in a way in terms of age, but he's still a pretty dude. Mm. That's still a handsome man. He's just older and he's bigger. But okay. They all held up pretty well.
All right.
Swimmer held up all right. Swimmer looks like he's had a couple things done, but, you know. They all still seem to have, like, normal emotions except for Courtney Cox.
Is that 2 hours worth it? Is it a good 2 hours? I mean, I liked Friends up to a certain point.
Yeah, then yes.
Okay.
As long as you have a basic liking for the show, you'll enjoy it.
Do we get a Gunther sighting?
Yep.
All right.
You do.
All right. That just adds to it.
Get a Gunther.
Okay. Janice?
We get a Janice. Hmm. You do. Yeah. What else do you get?
Elliot Gould?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you do.
Oh.
Yeah, well.
Tom Selleck?
Yep.
Wow. I'm in.
Look at there. See? And Courtney Cox with Dolly Parton's face. I mean, it's a big, it's a whole package, dude. That's what I said when I saw her. I'm like, wait a minute. I already have somebody that looks like Dolly Parton, who I'm happy with, by the way. I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I don't need two people to look like Dolly Parton. That's not what we're shooting for.
Gosh, is her mouth really doing that?
Yeah.
Like the Dolly Parton mouth?
It's that weird, like it's the collagen takes over.
Yeah.
And you're not seeing real emotions.
It's like bleeding beyond the lines of the lips.
Oh, my God.
At a certain point.
Well, and one of my favorite things about Friends is all of the laughter in the show. They made each other laugh. They're actually friends in real life. And I wanted to see a bunch of that natural reacting. Courtney Cox, like season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 was so great because of that big, beautiful smile, the laugh, the eyes, the eyebrows, the forehead and everything. And now it's like there's nothing going on there.
Mm.
Her eyes are trying to tell you she's happy or sad or whatever, but the rest of her face won't come along for the ride.
Her eyes are screaming for help.
Yeah, exactly. And everything else is just holding her down. It's so frustrating to watch, but it is a good reunion. Friends reunion is HBO Max?
Yes.
I believe, yeah. I got to get the streaming service straight nowadays. That is why June the 2nd might matter to us. Also, if you're a Stones fan, Charlie Watts is 80 today, first Stone to hit the 80 mark, one of my favorite drummers of all time. Also, if you're a Cowboys fan, today would have been Tex Schramm's birthday. Yeah, they don't really quite focus in on Tom Landry over there at UT. Did you know Tex Schramm went to UT as well? And, like Tom Landry, served his country in World War II. Rest in peace to the great Tex Schramm, one of the great NFL front office guys ever. All right, coming up, stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, including those basketball updates from earlier, there's a lot of it flying around. Also, news on a Longhorn that's about to start an NFL career. This is The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
I had a guess, but it changed. What do you got, Trey?
This is a band that our friend Tom is a big fan of, the Tragically Hip.
Huh.
And even though their lead singer passed away, I want to say in the last couple of years, they have a new song out called Ouch.
A little bit of a Mick Jagger vibe to that, isn't there? Just a tad?
Yeah.
A little bit? Yeah. Thought it was Mick for a second. Then I realized, oh, no, that's maybe younger than Mick. By the way, Mick's 77 right now. Charlie Watts, 80 years old today. The drummer of the Stones, 80 years old. That doesn't make me feel old at all. Oh, my God.
Whew.
That's crazy, man.
And I'm guessing they're getting back on tour at some point this year or next.
Oh, I would think so. Sure.
More money to be made there.
Trust me, Mick at 77 can still move. You say what you want. And I bet you Charlie can still keep the time, man. I've never been to a Stone show where I thought Charlie Watts was falling behind.
Yeah, and we know that Keith Richards is going to outlive them all.
Yes, he will.
Probably us, too.
Those rings and bracelets are going a long time. They're going to have to rip them off his dead body in like 50 years from now, maybe. All right, before we get out of here, we do have some stems and seeds. Let's start with the best idea I've seen all day.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. See, this is why we discuss food on the show. Here's your idea, Trey. The next time you make a s'more, a listener says go with the short, wide Reese's peanut butter cup, regular or white chocolate, much better than the traditional Hershey's chocolate. That's brilliant.
Whoa.
Never thought of it. That way you don't have to worry about a jar of peanut butter.
We are going to be doing s'mores when we're on vacation in July. That is happening.
Nice work.
And they said the thin Reese's peanut butter cup, too, because otherwise...
I would think the thin is good, yeah.
The thick one might get to be a little bit much, just thinking about the thinness of the chocolate bar that you normally go with. Yeah, I'm trying that one. I will report back on that one.
Brilliant idea. Also, Trey, congrats to a now former Longhorn who's about to be an NFL player. It's official. Joseph Osai signs his deal with Cincinnati. Hope it works out for him. I hope that they truly have turned a corner with Joe Burrow and the rest. But Joseph Osai, keeping it in the orange family, it'll be orange and black now. He does sign the deal. Now we just need to get him some guaranteed money if they're going to make him play 18 games up.
No kidding. Congrats to Joe for that one. He signs the same day that Ja'Marr Chase, their first-round draft pick, signed as well. So good luck to both of those guys. Chad, the big news of the day, of course, there's a couple pieces of big news. One involves the Boston Celtics, where Danny Ainge is stepping down. Brad Stevens is no longer going to be the head coach there. He's taking over for Danny Ainge, and now the Celtics will search for a new head coach. And speaking of coaches... Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, announced that this coming college basketball season will be his last.
How about that?
He is going to be replaced by John Shire, according to multiple outlets, including Jeff Goodman, who originally broke this story. A couple of other guys in consideration before Duke went with Shire. Those included Tommy Amaker and Johnny Dawkins. So it looks like they were trying to keep things in the Duke family that next head coach.
Had to be a Duke guy, huh?
Yeah, and according to some other reports I saw, and I apologize, I don't remember who floated this one out there, one of the big reasons why Coach K is retiring after this season versus waiting a couple more, the process was accelerated by what is happening with college basketball right now in terms of name, image, likeness, and then also the transfer portal.
That does not shock me at all.
At all.
And also, if you ask me, is Coach K going to be a last tour kind of guy or just retire at the end of the year, I would say he's a last tour guy. Deep down, I think he wants the show. He wants to be celebrated throughout the year.
Yeah, we may need to go with a bit tomorrow to try and figure out what each of those schools is going to give Coach K on the way out.
And to be honest with you, I'd be that guy. I admit it. I would. If I was a coach and I knew it was going to be my last year, I'd tell him before. I'd enjoy the tour. I would. I'd enjoy shaking the hands one more time, waving to the crowd one more time. And you know me, I love free stuff. Give me something at every stop. I'd be all about it.
Yeah, you're not doing it for the glory. You're doing it for the free stuff.
Exactly.
Pure and simple.
They might give me some new golf clubs or something. That'd be awesome.
Oh, wow. I went to a game at University of San Diego, and they gave me a surfboard. Sweet. Do you ever surf? No, but it's still a free surfboard.
Might learn now. It's going to be awesome. Going to be great. All right. So I know you're not watching, Trey, but you have a gut for Mavs and Clippers. What's going to happen tonight? Mavs done here?
Clips.
Dude, I think they've totally turned it.
Yeah.
And Doncic is hurt, too. So we'll see how much he can fight through it.
That's why, more than anything else, if they had Luka 100%, I think the Mavs could get themselves back into the series. But he's dealing with a neck injury and a nerve issue going down at least one of his arms. Yeah, that's not good.
When Kawhi Leonard got this thing turned, that's when his style of leadership starts to help again. I asked about it. Is it too quiet to really get you pumped up? But once they started playing a little better basketball, well, then the measuredness of him, if that's a word, is so perfect. It feels like, oh, now you're just getting, it feels like you're getting hunted by like a lion with a blank face. Just like the most boring lion in the world. But he's the best, one of the best lions out there.
Yes,
he's
is.
Gonna eat you and it's over and he's just gonna look like that.
Hey, speaking of basketball, Chad, tomorrow on the show, we have soon-to-be Hall of Famer Chris Bosch joining us to talk about his new book.
Very cool. That'll be at 2 o'clock, correct?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, we'll play that interview for you. 1 o'clock tomorrow, speaking of basketball, we'll make it all about hoops tomorrow. White Men Can't Jump is our movie of the week. Trey picked it. I hadn't seen it, but now we both have. We'll give you our grades on that coming up tomorrow at 1. Triple Option with RBKD comes up next. Then Fight Night at 7 tonight. And 8 o'clock, it's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, including Stu's interview with Mark Henry, talking about his big move to AEW. You want to find out the details? You got to have it here on the horn later on. Everybody have a good Wednesday. We'll be back for that Thursday show tomorrow, talking hoops, hoops, and more hoops on the horn. See ya!